Welcome to a brand new episode of the Internet's Most Hated Mafia-Themed Geek Podcast, Long Coat Mafia Podcast. I am the show's main host and frontman, the Reverend Godfather, also self-proclaimed number one eyesore of the downtown Martinsburg area, because why? The city council declares all its downtown residents, as well as the downtown area, a eyesore. So you know what? I want to know from you all out there who listen to us, the mighty few of all of you, should I continue to be in the face of the city council who hates this show, hates the downtown area, and considers all of us an eyesore to be in their face? Should I let them know constantly that they consider us, the downtown residents, an eyesore, the show, an eyesore? Should I be in their face? Let us know through email, which is longcoatmafia@gmail.com, or on our Facebook page at facebook.com/ The Long Coat Mafia Podcast. Leave a comment in the pinned post comment section, or if you're listening to us on YouTube, let us know in the comment section down below. If you're not a subscriber to our YouTube channel, just go head on over to YouTube. Do a search of the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. We are the first channel that comes up, the only channel that comes up in regards to the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. Leave a comment down there. Once you hit that subscribe button, we have loads of videos that come up there. So, why am I here today introducing, and I sound energized? That's because I am energized. I was feeling down. I was feeling low. I was feeling out the burnout bug. I should say the burnout bug was infecting my soul. And recently, and I do mean recently, I got a little bit of a shot in the arm. That's because we have an upcoming interview. You'll hear a little bit about that interview in the upcoming on-the-go type of recording that I have planned to drop off after this intro. That's right, you heard that. This is an intro. Why is it an intro? Because me and Big Candy got together to kind of record a on-the-go, or my grammar was bad. I do apologize. I'm kind of excited. We got a chance to record an on-the-go type of episode. No, it's not a car audio. It's pretty much an on-the-go. We got a chance to stop at one of the local restaurants, not a fast food joint, one of the local restaurants, and record something, because we both went to see a local EPPW event this past Friday. So we got a chance to record, get together and record our thoughts on the event, a few other things, as well as Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker. That's right. We both got a chance to see it. We wanted to talk about it. That's what this episode's about. But we forgot to talk about two things. First off, we forgot to talk about the new little robot that was introduced. The D-Zero, or the D-O robot. Or, as I'd like to call it, the DOLT robot. Why didn't we bring this up? I have no idea. I think we were trying to get nudged out of the restaurant because they were closing up for the night. Another thing we forgot to talk about was kind of a little bit of a cameo, a little bit of a bit part from Dominic Monaghan. Dude, if you ever listen to this, I apologize for mispronouncing your last name. You're a great actor. Yeah, the parts you've been in were very good. Some of you don't know who he is, but some of you might actually remember who he is, because he was in Lord of the Rings as Merry, and he was in Lost as Charlie Pace. But he kind of had this bit part in Rise of Skywalker. We forgot to talk about that. He was in this. So, but either way, Dominic has been in other stuff over the past few years, so we're not going to hold that against him. So, but I just wanted to bring that up in regards to him. There were a couple other things that we might have missed and everything else. If you have any thoughts on Rise of Skywalker, did you like it? Did you hate it? Or were you with the hype? I'm also going to add in right here, there were other plot holes that we acknowledge that there were plot holes in this. And there were, I should say, there were other story threads that they did not cover. I think we kind of referenced that because, or made reference to that, how condensed everything was in Rise of Skywalker, that it could have been longer or it could have been two movies, and therefore they could have added more stuff. So, I'm going to step down. I've been ranting long enough in regards to this intro. We're about 5 minutes, 30 seconds and change in. I'll see all of you on the other side of this on-the-go type of episode. So, I'm going to pause. I'm going to drop the episode, and I'll see you all, again, all of you on the other side.
Hey, everybody. We are, special shout-out to Anthony's Pizzeria in Martinsburg, West Virginia, because they are open past 10 o'clock tonight.
We're riding high.
That's right. This is another episode you guys tend to love so much. It's an episode on the go. I think we will turn the TV that they have here in the pizzeria up back to normal volume once we are done recording. But I am here with the one, the only, from parts unknown.
Or unknown parts.
Or unknown parts. The one, the only, Big Candy.
It should have been Candy. Or like when you did Ken Hunt.
What?
It was like, the one. The only. Ken Hunt.
But we are on the go. The reason why we are on the go and kind of doing a quote-unquote, yes, air quotes, in an audio podcast, folks. What are the odds?
Take a drink.
The reason why we are kind of on the go today is because we just got back from yet another EPPW event. It was their fan appreciation night. Stay tuned to our YouTube channel if it's not posted up already. The video that we did, I'll be putting that together. We got some great footage, and we got a chance to meet someone who commented on one of the videos, our last EPPW video that we posted up on YouTube. For those who wish to look for our YouTube channel, just do a search for the Long Coat Mafia podcast. If you're not subscribed, it will be the first channel that comes up. So don't worry about that. We had
Mr. Van Hansen.
Mr. Van Hansen. So
it looks like Hansen and Van Halen had a baby.
Right.
That's why it's Van
Hansen. So I will say this: he was a very nice guy. We had fun at, like we did at last event. You've been to more.
Still more than
I have, but we had fun.
Probably make it a regular thing whenever they have them. It's just a lot of fun. And it's cheap.
Yeah, very very cheap. I want to say a good 9 out of 10. Good 9 out of 10.
That's coming from a wrestling fan, yeah.
And the thing is, it was a way smaller venue. Yeah. Than last time?
Well,
so
the last time we went, that was the first time they actually did that venue.
Right.
Was the gymnasium. So I think they were trying to expand
because from what we were told, they are getting more and more crowds to the event, so they're going to need bigger and bigger venues,
which is
a good thing.
This is my third one. This is the biggest crowd yet that I saw.
And it's a very vocal crowd, and entertaining crowd, just as very it was very much as an entertaining crowd as it was the talent that was in the ring. And it was very, again, the matches were very fun and very entertaining as well, and very well done.
Yeah.
There were very at least two or three awesome matches.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And I'm not
a
putting
lot of
down
unexpected twists and turns really and, funny. Like gimmicks, like crazy
a lot of
stuff.
A lot of the standard gimmicks, but
I've never seen somebody dive off the top rope with a motorcycle helmet onto someone else's crotch before. That'd be a first.
and the pop for
that was huge. That was pretty great.
And the thing is, one of the other wrestlers earlier that night, he was on the top rope. He almost could have just monkeyed off the ceiling of the venue.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. And thing is with the venue, the restrooms were right near where the wrestlers got ready. So you got a chance to hear them going over the matches that they had to do. It broke the magic, but it didn't break the magic.
Right.
Because, folks at home, you got to understand, me and Big Candy, to use Big Candy's term, know how the milkshake is made or brings all the boys to the yard. But we know how it's done. We know what usually goes on behind the scenes because we're that kind of fan. But it doesn't break the actual magic that's behind the scene.
To me, it like actually makes it better. That's just me, though.
Right. And this is not a WWE event. This is not an AEW event. This is not a...
New Japan.
New Japan Wrestling.
NWA.
NWA or something like that. This is just a local, small-time... wrestling venue.
Just a guy from the area
who wants to bring local wrestling to folks that might not be able to afford or be able to go to a bigger venue.
Right.
And we understand that and we applaud them for that. And so far, at least the two that I've been to, this is including tonight, have been awesome. Yeah. They have been very entertaining. And the guys that have been a part of it, are very friendly and
very approachable.
Very approachable. The reason why we haven't said anything about the ladies because I guess they're trying to bring in female talent for it. We're not knocking them for trying, but they're trying to formulate something in regards to it.
Thank you very much.
There you go.
So that's right, we kind of ordered food for. This wouldn't be a first for us. We've done this before with our old Electric Eye episodes. Not in this fashion, but we've eaten on air before.
I like when you hear the smacking of the lips. So then we become like an ASMR video.
An ASMR podcast. Podcasting. But still, one of the things that you'll hear me in the intro, yes, I declared myself Martinsburg deplorable number one. But we're talking about... the EPPW for right now. We've had fun. We got to get into talks to get the owner on air. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we will in the foreseeable future.
He seems willing to.
He's willing to do it and willing to talk to us, and that's not a bad idea. We'll have him answer maybe some more in-depth what his plans are for the future and everything else, and we'll be more than happy. That invite is open. Even if it is through maybe something like Skype or something like that, which if my 9-to-5 schedule reverts back to what it was before my crazy schedule went all wonky, that might be actually doable, especially if it's in the evening hours, if he's available. Like I said, it was fun. There was even a hardcore-ish type match, you know. A street fight type match. Yes, tacks were involved.
And they put the rubber sheets on.
And they put the canvas sheets. But still, it was, like I said, it's still a 9 out of 10. Yeah. You know how the magic's done, but it's very entertaining. The crowd sometimes makes you laugh harder.
What do you give the audience in terms of a score?
10 out of 10. Because they were louder.
They were loud and they were pretty entertaining.
It's kind of hard to say if they were loud because of the venue or they were just loud for the sake of being loud.
I think a little column A, little column B. I think the lady to our left, the one that we were seeing most, God bless her, she's awesome. But she's one of those people I don't think can tell the difference between whether it's real or not. She's one of those that's still real to me, damn it, people.
Moon landing is fake, but wrestling's real.
Yeah, Earth is flat, wrestling's real.
But like I said, I had a good time. Considering, for the most part, even though we're kind of recording this on a Friday night, if they have more like a Saturday events in the future, mm-hmm. be more than happy to do that and go back and see what more videos we did record. Like I said, the video will be up sometime this week. It'll be our 52nd video for the year.
Yeah.
Official video. I might, as of this recording, I might or may have, damn you, Marty McFly, do a live stream in regards to Halo's forging. Visit some old maps. And, but
real quick, I have something that I want to tell you about.
Go ahead.
So, my son is an avid video game player for his age, and he just turned 7. So, for his birthday, we took him to a place that was referred to me from somebody at my job called Tilt Studio up in Hagerstown at the Valley Mall. Massive arcade. Massive, massive arcade. Laser tag, a roller coaster, putt-putt golf, bumper cars, video games, pinball, little food court, whole nine yards. Like, kind of like a mega Chuck E. Cheese. And I know you are a fan of Halo. They have a sit-down gun game of Halo. A four-player. You go between riding in the warthogs, or you're on foot, shooting Covenant ships, and like all kinds of great. It's awesome. I don't know what it's called, but I just saw Halo, and we went and played it for like 20 minutes. But I knew you'd appreciate it. Like, if you ever seen the sit-down arcade version of Halo.
It might be something like Halo Wars or something like that.
I don't know, but
you
know, it's fantastic.
Some sort of arcade equivalent.
It puts you right back in, like, almost like Halo 3 mode. You know what I mean?
You were one of the original members of Team Got It, so.
Yep.
Team, are you in my hiding spot? No.
No.
Pinky.
Dunk.
But, either I would have done it. I'm debating whether to stream it on YouTube or Facebook instead of going through Mixer or Twitch. Hmm. That way, more eyes will be on it. But since I want to build a map. I'll be again, folks. Since I know how to effectively stream through Twitch and Mixer's easy on the Xbox One, but. Stream better on Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook with my Xbox, because I could stream it to my computer and therefore stream it to everything else better.
Right.
I'll be helping Josh from Victims and Villains and their charity stream this, I think, February or March. Mm-hmm. And that's my idea to do, is to build a map in Halo. So, at least in Halo Reach.
That'd be awesome.
So, work on that, and it'll be one of the things I want to do.
For sure.
But my stream that I'm thinking of doing, probably or did by the time this goes up, is the just a tour of like Forge World, go through some of the maps that are, because it's the Master Chief Collection. It has the first. Yes, I understand right now. There is a Halo 5, but the first official 5 Halo games that were first-person shooter that have either, in some way, shape, or form, involved characters from Halo, which is Halo. Master Chief was in Halo 1 through 4, and additional characters in Reach and ODST, and that's the favorite Forge maps that were in the Halo run.
Yeah.
In those particular games, and Master Chief being on the Xbox One is the perfect thing to do it. So, and that concludes the gaming aspect of today's episode.
Yes. We gotta stop.
Because there are other things we gotta talk about. According to the title, we have at least two other things that we gotta talk about.
Major.
The first thing I wanna talk about is the Ghostbusters Afterlife trailer.
Fuck
yeah. I am stoked. I think the. Granted, we haven't seen it yet. It comes out in 7 months. Roughly 7 months. There's a lot to kind of unpack with the trailer. a lot we've seen in the trailer. I think this might actually be the handoff movie that we were looking for in 2000. Granted, there were a lot of issues surrounding the 2016 Ghostbusters. Please go back into our back catalog to see.
I know you weren't a fan of it, but on its own, it is what it is.
Right.
It's
even Dan Aykroyd kind of agrees with that. It is what it was. There was the issues. Yeah. He kind of enjoyed it.
I think it's funny at times.
I think it had its issues at the time, and that's just my opinion. But I think this upcoming movie is that handoff movie that a lot of the people expected to see, and I can't wait to see it.
Right.
I just don't want to get my expectations way too high, because there's that chance that I'm going to get disappointed.
Yeah.
But I have two possible theories from the trip. Granted, we only got one trail.
Okay.
One trail.
Well,
there's two.
There's international trailers too.
From the trail that we've seen here in the States, I have two possible theories in regards to what may happen in the movie,
okay,
or regards to what's happening that we see.
Mm-hmm.
The first, because it's surrounding Egon's grandkids. These are because they mentioned their grandfather passing away,
right,
and the only member of the team who has passed away in recent years is Harold Ramis, who played Egon in the original movies.
Right.
So these takes place in regards to his daughter but mostly his grandkids,
right,
and it's Egon's property. So, my first theory is that we'll find out the business, Ghostbusters, was because there was no ghosts.
Right.
Events, in at least from what we know in the sequel, ended.
Yeah.
They retired, the business got disbanded. First theory is the containment grid was buried in Egon's backyard.
Right.
And it was covered up by that well. And due to years, what happens with a lot of containers? They break down. Yeah. They rust.
Well, they keep talking about earthquakes.
Right.
We're in a place where there's some tectonic plates, so that's...
it could be everything, the pressure from the containment grid just trying to break out. And the second thing is, my second theory, because we see that paw print, that paw hit the thing. A lot of people are theorizing that is one of the Gozer's dogs that we see the first movie. What if the aspect of it's either A, they're making reference to the game, or B, Zool found another way out because they contained Zool by forcing everything back through the gate in the first movie.
Right.
So this is them trying to come back out.
That's what I was thinking.
So it's one of the two. We just need more information.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Is a good mediator in regards to this.
He's a good person to have in the movie. He's funny on the level of Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray. He's that kind of funny.
Yeah, he knows how to do serious when there's need to be serious. And, you know, again, see Ant-Man.
Right.
Plus, he's done other movies. But it'll be interesting, especially from what we see, he's kind of the exposition dump a little bit.
Right.
Because he's the one in the trailer that says, oh, you don't know about the Ghostbusters. How do you not know about the Ghostbusters?
Right.
They're like the Walking Dead of, my time. And there was that meme I shared that on my personal Facebook page in reference to somebody, I guess, I don't know how real the account was. It's like, how do you not know? You know, and guys, this universe, like, it happened like 30 years ago. You should have known a giant, marshmallow person exploded hearts, sugary goo all over the place. There were thousands of witnesses.
It was like a major thing.
The major thing. And how do you not, besides, a few years later, the Statue of Liberty got up and walked into town, crushed cop cars. Again, thousands upon thousands of witnesses. Camera crews, how do you not know this happened? 20 years ago, Sonic the Hedgehog balloon had a leak in it, crushed people. We're still talking about it. No.
Yeah.
So it was funny, but,
you make a good point, sir.
It was funny. It's like, I can't wait to see it. Hopefully, I'll make it a point to set at least $5 aside to go see it at Berkeley Theater, a matinee or something like that. Or $10 to see it at night. $7 at Berkeley Theater for past matinee times. But still, it's worth it. Mm-hmm. You know, to go up, wander up there during the summer.
It's going
to
happen so quickly, too. I was surprised that it was next year.
Yeah.
But next year is right around the corner, so that's not too bad.
Thing is, a lot. We're not going to go into a lot. This episode, we're not going to go into the controversies behind. There's already controversies behind Ghostbusters, but that's not why we're here today.
While we're here,
talk about EPPW because we were at that event.
It was awesome.
To kind of link into the main thing we're here to talk about today, folks, is the fact that. Both of us seen the potential dump, as you should probably see me put it on Twitter. Again, our Twitter show's Twitter handle is Long Coat Mafia. Go there, click that follow button. Plug. Today I went to see Big Candy saw it last night as of this recording. I saw it today. I got a chance to see the potential dumpster fire that was Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker. Now, first off, I wish I was recording my other phone because I got show notes. Oh, wait. As we're kind of talking about it, I'll pull out my other phone because I sent it as an email to myself. And granted, I have my other cell phone with me.
I kind of have a thing on it.
But,
reference, but.
As my other phone is booting up, we'll kind of talk about it, at least go into it a little bit. With this, from what I heard, there were several directors a part of this. One of which was fired due to creative differences. So the thing is,
I think you can really, that's one thing I will say, you can really tell where the different directors were. Like, that's kind of prominent, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can see the differences in the filmmaking. But we'll go ahead and say what you're going to say.
The fact of the matter is, did they do a better job than Last Jedi?
Oh my God, yes.
Yes. Both, I will say this, me and Big Candy were afraid, scared. There were leaks several months ago. Did they match up to the main storyline? Yes and no.
But they were severely out of context.
A lot of it. Did I enjoy it? Yes, I did. There were parts I liked and enjoyed. Mm-hmm. Parts that I didn't really cringe about it. Again, before we continue, spoilers. If you want to go see it. See it, then come back, listen to the rest of this. Mm-hmm. If you don't care about spoilers,
spoilers ahead.
If you continue listening, and heck, we got the E tag on it. If you want to bitch and complain about spoilers, fuck you. We're going to talk about spoilers anyway.
It's your own damn fault.
Your own damn fault now, because main thing is my. Problem was, again, the crawl seemed a little bit short at the start. The theater that I went to see it, I was more excited at what was shown prior to it than seeing it. There was no, during the movie for the most part, before I go into the movie itself, the audience was quiet. Unlike to use as a kind of a comparison, when it came to Infinity War and Endgame, there was noise, meaning there was cheers, there was, you heard gasp, you heard the crowd going on, reacting. There was no reacting to this whatsoever. It was dead quiet. And if you, compressed the people to... there were no seats between everybody, just the armrest. Right. Maybe about a third of the theater was full.
Now, see, that's your theater. My theater was jam-packed at 10:40 at night on premiere day. It was a lively crowd. There was a lot of laughing during the funny parts. There was a lot of gasping during certain other parts. And then there was I would say thunderous applause at the end, but there was definitely a round of applause at the end. And I thought it was appropriate. I mean, did I enjoy it? Yes, I did. I was surprised that I would, based on my reaction from the last one, where I almost left the theater early. Number one, number two, I got on the phone and called you immediately. It was like, we gotta talk. It was that bad. This one was, and I'm not comparing it to the last one. This one on its own was really good.
Well,
not really good. It was like good. You know what I mean?
It was.
It held up.
At times, it seemed compressed. They could have split this one up to two movies, it could have been a little bit longer.
Like 3 hours.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying that it could have been easily 3 hours. Mm-hmm. We got a 3 hour end game, so a 3 hour movie would have been more than possible.
Yeah. You're probably, when it gets released to video or DVD or whatever, there's probably going to be a lot of cut scenes. There's going to be a lot of deleted.
Visually, it was wonderful.
Great.
One of the most heartfelt parts, again, we're going to kind of go out of order a little bit, was Chewie, his reaction, especially with, when they announced that Leia has passed.
Yeah.
You could tell, because of his bond with the Solo family, to me, a lot of the stuff that was in this movie drew upon stuff that Disney no longer considers canon,
right?
Which is the Force Unleashed games.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure there's going to be people out there that say, "Well, we haven't seen the tossing of the saber and it coming back like a boomerang. That was Force Unleashed. You saw that." Some people will say, "Oh, the good people who are with the good part of the Force can't use Force Lightning." Again, Force Unleashed kind of said yes, because I think Lucasfilm said that was canon, the first game.
Well, the fact that the base in the Force Awakens is called Starkiller Base.
Right. not to mention, in the books, the Jedi had animal friends. And you kind of got that with what Rey was trying to do at one point. My main gripe was that the first 15 minutes seemed overly condensed.
It did.
And just out of place.
It seemed rushed. Like, the pacing was weird. Like, in the first part, I was like, is this going to go on through the whole movie? I kept thinking to myself,
right,
is this going to happen through the whole movie?
And it, at times, I don't agree with at least one reviewer, at times, it seemed like what was kind of built up with character-wise, you didn't, it just seemed like, okay, we're going to build, granted it was supposed to be Rey's story and all that, but it seemed that, like, Poe, Finn, was off to the wayside a lot more and just kind of mishandled.
It kind of looks like they fell flat.
Yeah, and Rose seemed better, even though she was, again, pushed to the way to the side.
Way to the
side. But they handled her way better still, though.
Awesome.
We'll increase the volume when we're done with this. We're recording something right now, so we'll increase the volume of the TV when we're done. So we're recording on the phone. So we're at a kind of a restaurant portion. All right. I know. But still, the fact that it just said let's see what I the One of the things that got my goat a little bit was the fact that it seemed like everybody knew that Rey was a Palpatine, but Rey.
Yeah.
Luke, Leia, Kylo, everybody knew, but Rey.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we all knew you were a Palpatine.
But she trained you anyway.
Did you have like a lid or anything?
No.
Okay.
Thank you. Some aspects that seemed like member berries to right. use the South Fork, like remember the purg things,
yeah.
you know, remember Ewoks, remember you know.
No, the thing is that was the last movie, so there were just
tossing things in.
Yeah.
The thing is during post speech. The one thing that came to my mind was the president's speech. It was just automatic. Yeah. Like the president's speech from the first Independence Day.
Yeah.
It was like, that's what it reminded me. I was like, no, July 4th will no longer be an American holiday. it just felt like that.
Right.
The other issue was the fact that was Palpatine. Was the fact that him being a clone, possible clone, was just kind of dismissed
yeah.
in a way. It was there, but it was kind of like, everyone's like, no, wait, clone?
But they didn't say what the deal was at all. That was
right.
the problem.
And the thing is, on screen, Palpatine looked like Cenobite Palpatine. And folks at home, if you're a horror buff, you kind of know what I mean by if you watched Hellraiser 2 by Cenobite.
Right.
In regards to, that's what my mind went to because of how he was attached. And you were explaining to me that it was just that the machine that was kind of keeping his body alive somehow. Or
this is according to.
And he looked off, even though he was probably supposed to be decayed, yeah. but he still looked wrong.
This is according to leaks. And I just don't get it. It's kind of weird. But apparently his body was very much dead.
Yeah.
But the machine was keeping him alive and his, like, essence or whatever was, what was it, was talking.
Right.
And doing all the plotting and planning and something about the Snoke clones that were, you saw them in that tank.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of them. They, like, he was trying to, like, grow a body or something through those or something weird.
I think that was J.J.'s or whomever was writing, trying to give Snoke a backstory
right.
that they forgot to give.
Yeah, that Rian Johnson just totally
screwed up. So they had to explain Snoke somehow.
Yeah.
So, again, more clones.
It was a good catch.
So it was, but well, the fact of the matter is, one of the things I might have heard was that, oh, Palpatine was vastly overpowered. Well, in the extent, from what I've heard in the books, from diehard fans that actually read the books,
yeah.
Palpatine was that overpowered.
Right, and he said
the only person that was more overpowered than him
right.
at that time, while he was still intact, was little orphan Annie.
Right.
And yes, I called Anakin Skywalker, a.k.a. Darth Vader, little orphan Annie. Screw you out there. But he was the only one that was more powered. When some of the powers that the Emperor could do was teleport, project himself, like on a Jumbotron in a way, and do kind of what he did at the last scene of Rise of Skywalker. He was able to do that. And speaking of another thing that was kind of game-related was Rey kind of tries to take down a ship using the Force that was part of Force Unleashed. Even though it kind of made more sense for someone to do a smaller vessel
right.
than a Super Star Destroyer that was in the game.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying the game was bad. The game was pretty dang good. But I'm just saying, on a scale-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Just, it was a way to do that. And they kind of used some interesting tricks. The battle, I guess, in the end, could have been a tad bit more, even though they were mimicking Return of the Jedi,
yeah,
a little bit with the end scene, but they could have done a little bit more space battles.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter, as well as speaking of the Star Destroyer, the planet cracking Star Destroyers, again, that was part of the book, but it was only one ship.
Right.
And the way they had these ships and the design in the movie, I kept thinking, Starship Dick?
That's true.
Because that's how it kind of... And it's like, talk about Red Rocket, but... but, still, there were some things that, it's like, some of the characters that they had built up or brought in for the last few movies, they set to the side, and yeah, they brought some new ones in and just didn't really...
like,
expand it. One of the things that I did... Chewie finally got his medal. That's number one.
A lot of people hated that.
The fact they never originally got a medal.
No, because they thought it was like in your face cheesy.
That was also the one thing. There was again, there were at the end. We did see you'd expect Endor being, yeah, part of the movie takes place on the same moon of Endor than as of Return of the Jedi.
Right.
You'd expect, according to some theories, that particular moon was pretty much wasteland because of when the Death Star blew up.
Yeah.
Apparently it was only, I guess, part of Endor,
yeah,
that was destroyed, and we did get to see two Ewoks at the end. My guess is that was
Wicket,
or one of them had to be Wicket, or the Ewok that found Leia.
Wicket.
I
remember so,
it was just that, but a lot of times, like I said, it seemed skip. They could have expanded Helene. As one person said, one MacGuffin after another, but it's just...
But, like I was telling you, Carl, like, honestly, if you look at the first, like, the movies that everybody loves, the originals, it's the same damn thing.
Right.
It's like, they have as many, quote-unquote, plot holes and errors and...
other things,
yeah,
and, but...
ill-planned things, you know, that these movies do. But for some reason, they get a pass.
Right.
And this one, I didn't think it was that bad. Like, honestly, like, it kept me entertained. The story was somewhat
ending,
solid, you know?
Ending seemed a little weak. Meaning, even though in the movie aspect of things, the Emperor was drastically overpowered, but they made Rey even more overpowered.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is, it just that the ending was kind of...
But again,
just
overpowered, I'm sure, but
it just kind of just faded down, and all of a sudden, it was like, okay, here's Rey, here's Kylo, now kiss.
But wasn't I willing to accept it, though? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like it's that, whatever story they want to tell, that's the one that's going to be... the one we have to watch.
Now, like I said, some of you guys out there might have expected us to be ranting and raving about this movie.
I'm surprised we're not.
We were. Technically, I was prepared to go in and scorch the earth coming out.
Yep.
Because Thursday is when I was seeing clips out of context.
Yep.
I was seeing clips of Kylo going, "You are Rey. You are a Palpatine."
Right.
I was seeing pretty much the last 2 minutes,
yep,
of like that person coming to. I guess that was the Skywalker's little homestead.
Right.
And that was supposed to be burnt up in the first one, but it's now whole. And that traveler coming by and saying, you know, who are you? I'm Rey. I'm Rey Skywalker.
I get that part. A lot of people are having trouble with that part, too. I get that part, though, because that was her teachers. That was her masters. Right. It probably would have been more accurate because she was closer to Leia. If she would have said Solo instead, I need a drink. Hold on.
It's a pleasure. Now, that brings up another thing. We got to see the training scene, I guess, training montage, in a way, we were supposed to see, or we should have seen, in a way, in Last Jedi.
Right.
But you're also talking about the aspect of, even though during the time of recording The Last Jedi, or filming The Last Jedi, Princess Leia, I forgot her name, Carrie Fisher, passed away. And they kind of used unused footage for it. And you were saying you were noticing
This was one of my biggest pet peeves with the movie, was that they were just using this found footage of her or whatever, like extra footage of her that they had laying around. And it just, they were trying, God bless them, to sync it up with the movie in a way that was meaningful. But it just like came off like weird, and like what I tell you is that they would have had a better time just propping up the corpse and like adding it, like sit there
or using what they had of Carrie Fisher just you know, mo-capping it.
Yeah,
but they didn't want to do that,
which is weird. I think that was from the family that they didn't want to do that,
right? I guess if it was from the family, then you can,
because you watched Rogue One.
Right.
At the end of Rogue One, they had the CGI.
Right.
Carrie Fisher, which I thought was pretty good.
Right.
The Tarkin in that movie was, I thought it was a real dude. Until I watched it again, I was like, oh, he's fake. That guy's dead. But they did a good job with the CGI in Rogue One. And they probably could have done that with her, but I think the family didn't want it or something.
And they wanted to respect.
It just came off really weird. Like, there's periods where, like, the character's just staring at Rey, and it's just like, okay.
And the thing is, they, if you wanted to go from the second part of this trilogy, which was Last Jedi, forward, they could have done so much, but again, yeah, I think there was also the meme I shared on my personal timeline. It's like, of Miss Kennedy, the head of, you know, Lucasfilm, saying, "Oh, we don't know how to, you know, we had no plan for you know, this trilogy.
We didn't have anything to go on."
Yet every
you had
fan,
like 20 years of books and video games.
It's like every fan was like, you got rid of it. You called the legends, but to also
fan
kind of
fiction.
call it fan fiction. It's legends now. But on that note, to tie in, one thing that we kind of noticed, you and I noticed in this, was the aspect of force healing.
Yeah.
But here's the thing: I'm using that to tie in our next little review, and that is because of the past couple of weeks, I managed to get my yearly subscription. I paid for the full year of Disney Plus.
Yay.
So, which means I got to see Mandalorian.
Yay.
And I guess within the next week or two, the final episode comes out.
27.
So, one of the things that they did was, I've been enjoying the show. I kind of agree that I've seen part of the manga, so I'm familiar with the reference. It's the Lone Wolf and Cub of Star Wars, which it's done very well. It takes some time after Return.
Yeah.
So it's its own standing little storyline. It has a Mandalorian in it.
Yeah.
It's not, they call it, he doesn't really have a name.
He does.
They just call him Mando.
But he does have a name.
I didn't catch it.
Din Djarin? Something like that.
I think from his story, it's like he was a kid during the Clone Wars, and his folks died during,
like, saving him,
and another Mandalorian picked him up and adopted him.
Right.
For the most part, I guess that's how the culture of the Mandalorians continues, yeah. or the religion.
They call it the Foundlings.
The Foundlings.
So and like, that's what he always like. So he takes that Beskar steel and whatever he has made into his armor, whatever's left over is given to the Foundlings. So in other words, they have armor for when they first start out.
Right. And that's why I think in the show, they kind of back him when he decides to rescue Baby Yoda,
right.
as a lot of the fans are calling him, or calling it.
Which is not the name, but...
But, right. For that. So, that's, again, the baby becomes...
Something else I'm going to talk about after that, too. But,
he's a foundling. He's like, well...
Essentially, you were right. He would be considered a foundling.
And that's why, I guess, the other Mandalorians back him up when he goes to save him.
Right.
Because
Which was just awesome.
The whole quote, I gotta get me one of those jetpacks.
Yeah.
And in the current episode, to jump ahead a little bit, the baby Yoda uses force healing. So and the episode dropped before.
I like your meme that you post up today too.
Kind of used the aspect of using. They dropped the episode early so they could say it's force healing is canon. And it's been used before.
Yeah. When I saw that, I was like, it dropped my jaw. I was like, he has force healing?
But I think one of the funniest scenes I've seen.
A bitch? He's pimp as fuck.
and the fact of the matter is, what I found funny was in the episode prior to it, the heist episode.
Right.
Again, air quotes for an audio Bill podcast. Bill, he was good in that.
He was good in that.
And so and asked,
what's his face?
Clancy Brown. The funny part was that at the end of the episode, when the droid goes to fire and the baby Yoda tries to use the force, and that's when the Mando uses the gun and the baby Yoda's just like, did I do that? He's just kind of like, does like, close his eyes, tries to use the force, and all of a sudden, blaster hit, yeah. and he's like, did I do that? And he gives the Mando kind of a nod.
Right.
And the whole memes that have come out, that the Mando still has more facial expressions than Kristen Stewart.
It's true. She has this.
And Mando, here, have a ball off the
controls. Yeah,
go play with that.
Oh, but yeah, so the Baby Yoda thing, I don't know if you've been following that. So how stupid is Disney to not have had merch ready? Like, just look at the damn thing. Anybody who sees it, like people that aren't even Star Wars fans, love Baby Yoda.
Maybe they're taking a page out of Nintendo's book, creating a demand.
No, they knew there was going to be a demand. They had to have, or else they're the dumbest people on the planet. So they come out with Baby Yoda. They don't have any merch out. None. There was merch for The Mandalorian. There was merch for like the characters, like Cara Dune. All kinds of stuff. Star Wars Black figures. Nope. No Baby Yoda. The one character that is like everybody's gone nuts for, they had nothing. So, people were making shirts that said Baby Yoda or the child or such. Put them on eBay and Etsy. Well, guess who started getting cease and desist letters?
Those folks from Disney.
Everybody who was making... Baby Yoda dolls, Baby Yoda Funko Pop customs, everything. They start going after them. They start saying, no, you can't do that. That's our thing. And they're like, is it called Baby Yoda or not? Because it's not. It's not its name. It doesn't have a name. They have yet to name it. So they're going after people completely without precedent, like just because they screwed up.
That's one of the things that a lot of folks don't, a lot of corporate folks like Disney don't understand.
Yeah.
That I'll say this, they'll instantly do a cease and desist, right. instantly. Mm-hmm. we talked about this in episodes past in regards to quote-unquote bootleg type of stuff.
Right.
Folks at home, if you're a new listener, go back into our back catalog and search up our Heading to Baltimore Comic Con episode and our Baltimore, Baltimore review episode and our Aftermath episode. That we done, the Wrestling to Baltimore Comic Con, I think is the name of that particular episode.
Yes.
That has the kind of the conversation with one of the artists from Baltimore Comic Con, the audio from that. Go back and listen. Feel free to do so. Because it's very interesting take, and the reason why we ask you to listen to Ramping Up to Baltimore is because we spoke to the one, the only, Matt Burns, because he has experience on running a show, running a convention. So you'll have that aspect of things. So in regards to show stuff, making additional custom and independent stuff, at places, companies like Disney, leaving more about Disney, Star Trek, the folks that behind Star Trek tend to do the same thing. They do these epic dick moves in regards to fan stuff.
Yeah.
And from what I remember, when it came down to when Babylon 5 was a thing,
right,
the lawyers behind Babylon 5, one, and I think Warner Brothers or whoever was part of it,
right,
wanted to send out immediate cease and desist with all these people putting out fonts, images, fonts, fan-made stuff. And John Michael Straczynski was like, no. We are a syndicated television show. They are advertising for us.
Exactly.
They're this advertising.
But you know what I don't get?
Wait until if they cross the line. A lot of he was from one of the article I read at the time. What he was stopping was a lot of people that were approaching the line, but not crossing the line.
Right.
Because
it's all that.
It was the early days of the internet, and AOL was still a thing, and people were talking about it. And if you're a show that's not in an area yet,
right,
how do you advertise that you have, you're online, you're going to talk about it, and you're going to talk about more and more and more about
the Baby Yoda thing is universally acceptable, and you know, whatever, like people, every, like I said,
we got to close up.
Pause it, we'll do it in the car.
Pause it, we're going to pause this. All right, do this, but I want to say that the aspect of the Mando, it's still pretty good.
No, the show's fine. I guess my whole beef with it was like, well, not even with it, it was with Disney fucking people out of rights to something they don't have.
Right.
Because there's no name for the character, and they were using, like, not even licensed images. They were using, what was it? What do you call that? A promo sketch or something.
Right.
Or they were using their own image. Like, they were making an image of... Do you know how fast I can draw Baby Yoda? Probably 10 seconds.
Right.
It's just a circle, two little ears, and a little fucking face. It, like, takes no time. Like, that's all people were doing. Throwing that on a shirt and going, Baby Yoda, and people were buying it. They hated it because they didn't think of it. How do you not think of that? How do you not... Like, right around Black Friday, right around Christmas time, and that's why they were pissed, because they lost so much revenue on Baby Yoda right at the prime time.
Granted, we're talking about a major company. How do you not think of this right away? But then again, in Winchester, I don't know how often you see it, but here in Martinsburg, sometimes it's like you go into an independent shop, it's like, why aren't you advertising? Why aren't you doing a chili fest? It's a tax write-off. Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? I don't know. I just don't want to do it.
Yeah, but why get pissed about it when
someone else is doing doing a hustle?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But anyway.
Let me
get in the car and do this. I'm done.
Okay, let's move into the car, folks. Into the car. Moving into the car. So dead air. Lack of dead air.
There's no dead air. Just keep talking.
Keep talking. Keep talking. So there's no dead air.
No dead air.
Put that on. So I hope it doesn't fall on the floor as I close the door. out of a 10 scale, what do you give Rise of Skywalker?
Seven? A strong seven.
Strong seven. I'm going to give it a strong 6.5 out of 7. But overall, with what we've seen with Mandalorian...
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10? I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10. Mm. So...
to me, it's a perfect show. We're getting episodes every week instead of all at once, which builds the suspense.
And lets people talk about it.
Yeah, and that's something that really needs to happen with... it's nice that Netflix does that, how they do it. But at the same time, like, I miss having to wait and talk about it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Having something to talk about during the week or sit around and go, well, what does this mean? Or what is this going to do? Or why is this happening? It kind
of like adds, the theory of a show.
Yeah. It really adds a little bit to it. You know you're going to get the show. It's not going to get canceled.
There's going to be a season.
Yeah.
The thing is, you have a lot of folks right now, from what I've heard, that as soon as episode 8 drops and they watch it, they're going to cancel their Disney Plus. What happened?
Because, you know, wouldn't somebody say essentially all Disney Plus is that box of old videotapes in your attic?
Right. It's like the aspect
that
is like
never, that you never fucking watch.
So it's like, so when the Obi-Wan series drops, you're going to re-up for that.
Right.
Watch it for 2 months. Cancel again.
Yeah.
When the next Star Wars series comes out, you're going to re-up again for 2 months. Cancel.
Yeah.
When season 2 of Mando comes out, you're going to re-up for 2 months and cancel.
Like, honestly, I wish people would understand, though, that, like, this is Disney Plus's first outing.
Right.
Like, this is what they have to offer, and it's quite a bit as far as, like, their back catalog goes and movies and stuff that some, like, kids have never seen. Like, my kids never seen, like, probably 80%, 90%, I'll even say, of the Disney movies.
Your boy, Caleb, and, you like, know,
He likes that stuff. Like, if
and
we
the thing
sit down
is,
and
he's never seen the original. Granted, you have. I want to say this. There's X-Men Evolution. There's the original X-Men show.
Clone Wars.
He's never Rebels. Seen Gargoyles. The original DuckTales.
Oh, but we started watching. He really digs it.
What, Gargoyles?
Fuck yeah.
I'm just saying all that OG stuff is on there.
And you know what Disney's doing the whole time that all this stuff is out? They're watching. They're watching what people are looking at. They're watching what people are watching. And I bet you, everybody's like, well, they ought to do a live-action Gargoyles. Well, guess what? I guarantee Disney Plus,
and
original
dude,
series, Gargoyles.
The dude has come out and says he wants to bring it back. He wants to do something with it. He wants to do a new season.
Trust me, they're looking at the numbers. They're like, oh, wow, we can do this. Okay, we'll do Darkwing Duck again. They
revamped DuckTales. Maybe they'll put it in the real, actual fucking order on streaming instead of the shell game like they did on the channel.
Disney Plus might just save The Simpsons from cancellation. I don't know. It's. I think that, like, they're looking at the numbers and they're seeing what people are watching, and I think that that's how they're going to start making more content. They're going to start seeing that people are really watching X, Y, and Z. Like, yeah, and at the same time, it's great because you have the whole Disney movie back catalog, except for Song of the South. And but you have most of the Disney back catalog right there at your tips. Shit that, like, you know, oh, it's coming out of the vault for 5 seconds and we're putting it back. You know, and shit that some people couldn't get a hold of. Now you can watch it whenever you want to, and I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, I finally got a chance to see Bed Knobs and Broomsticks for the first time in God knows how many damn years.
Well, that's actually a good movie. But, like, Apple Dumpling Gang, that's a silly one, but it's good. Like, but they got all that dumb shit.
Yeah, they got that darn cat. They got
Caleb was watching. I've never seen that before, and he just got entranced by that dumb movie.
I know you have a lot of dumb Disney movies that are, you know, part of it, but...
yeah, all those old, like, the 50s and 60s ones with, what's her name? What was the actress?
Not sure.
Oh, I can't remember
her. I think I know who you mean, but
yeah,
you know
who
just...
I mean. She was like in everything that they did.
What, was she in like The Parent Trap?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's just
she was
the
in that
younger generations now has a chance to experience it. I think somebody stated that they were reviewing something. Oh, they were talking about Disney's Recess.
Yeah.
And they was like, yeah, it's good to know all six apparently there were six seasons of Recess, but
wow.
Disney only has three seasons up.
Yeah.
But
And the primary reason for that...
It's probably some sort of reason, but who knows?
Because the later seasons might have got into territory that was...
iffy?
Dated. I can see them doing that. Like, a lot of jokes on The Simpsons fall flat because it's dated. Terribly dated. Like, if you watch, like, seasons, like, 3 or 4, 4, 5, 6... Like, they tell jokes about stuff that was happening at the time that by now I've forgot about. And I'm like, huh? Oh, yeah. Why is that funny? I don't know why that's funny. You know?
Right.
So, like, Family Guy is really, really bad for that. Because, like, everything in their show is basically, like, dated shit. And Family Guy, it's almost unbearable to watch the first couple seasons of that. Just because of all the flashbacks and shit.
So, that being said...
But anyway.
Anyway.
In conclusion. Star Wars, not bad.
Not bad. Go see it.
Mandalorian, awesome.
Go see it at least once, if not... rent it. Go see it once. It's not as bad as a rental, but go see
it.
Give it a watch.
And a rent.
And a rent, okay. Mandalorian, definitely watch.
And even if Disney's finally going to put out their own merchandise, go buy it because it's cute.
Right. I had to replace my headset for my Xbox. So instead of going to Walmart, I went to GameStop.
Right.
And the GameStop that's here in town that I was able to be dropped off at from the bus.
Right.
Right near like Books a Million. I was looking for like a Baby Yoda. I would have picked up a Baby Yoda.
Yeah.
But as much as I don't really collect Funko Pops, I would have picked up a Baby Yoda.
Yeah, it'll be out, trust me.
It'll be out soon.
They're working on them already.
They're working on them. So, still, that's it for now. Stay tuned, folks, for our after-credit stuff. And special shout-out to Anthony's Pizzeria, even though they kind of gently nudged us out the door.
Do you need a box?
Do you need a lid? We didn't expect to stay for that long, but I guess we were there for about an hour. It's now an hour and 2 minutes into the show. But still, probably be a little bit longer. I think we did very good progress today.
We did.
Folks at home, I feel a little bit energized now. Stay tuned next week for our interview with the folks behind Bloody Summer Camp. It's their third movie. And yes, folks, as some of you all know, that they were shocked that I watched their first movie.
Oh, really?
So they're like, ugh. Like, yeah, I'll bring it up to you guys. I watched it. It's the first thing I put up on Amazon Prime. I rented on Amazon Prime, so you guys are getting that penny.
Can I do a quick movie recommend?
Go ahead.
Ready or Not.
Ready or Not?
Have you heard of it?
Why does it ring a bell?
So it's the one, it came out earlier this year, about it's the girl, she gets married to the rich guy. The family is into gaming, like board games and like stuff like that. So the stipulation is to be a part of the family at like the stroke of midnight, you have to play a game.
I heard about that.
You get a card, and, like, whatever it is, it's, you have to play it. But she draws, like, the worst card you can do, and it's hide-and-seek, and they try to hunt her.
Oh.
And it's fucking awesome and fucking crazy.
Speaking of upcoming movies that I want to check out, one of the previews that was in Rise of Skywalker for me was, I guess, a new Ryan Reynolds film about him he was, in essence, would be an NPC, a non-playable character, but he finds a pair of glasses and makes him part of a video game.
I've seen that.
The other film that I want to see, it's a horror movie. I saw the trailer. It came through my recommendation either on Facebook or on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's called The Mandela Effect.
Oh, I've heard about that.
And it looks awesome. It's it's a horror movie based on the aspect of Mandela Effect,
right,
and us living in a simulation.
That's crazy.
Computer simulation. And everything is glitching out.
That's crazy.
And it looks, and one of the things is that they show in the preview is that the person's glitching out from, like, you would see on the side, but they turn it towards the forward, and it's like all spiking out towards you.
Wow.
And it's like, I gotta watch this. It could be a shit show, and I'll be intrigued, you know. But still,
ooh, can I do another recommend?
Go ahead.
Satanic Panic.
Why does that ring a bell?
It came out this year or last year, anyway. Has Rebecca Romijn in it. She plays this like super duper rich lady. But she's a Satanist, and this poor pizza girl is trying to get her tip from the guy who stiffed her at the door. She walks in on a satanic ritual, and awfulness ensues. Really good.
So it's
almost like a it's almost like a good 80s movie.
And the thing is, to go back, because show ADD, folks, the folks who are doing Bloody Summer Camp, they got, I think her name is... Felicia Rose, who was the original person that was in Sleepaway Camp.
Yep.
And so, granted, as much as I would love to have had her as a special guest in on the interview,
right,
that was not the case, but still, it was a fun interview. Check it out. It will be dropping the week of New Year's.
Uh-huh.
And the thing is, even though some parts might be seemingly awkward, but it's nice to end the year on interviewing a filmmaker and those part of what he's been doing, because if you guys and gals remember, you go back to the start of this year, we started off the year, I think January, February, with Mark Byrne and the aspect of Amazon Prime issues. And we kind of, a few months later, we spoke to John Johnson in Dark Stone. And we kind of, bridging 2019 with 2020 with the folks from Bloody Summer Camp. So I'm happy to that. And it's a nice little fluke in regards to that. Stay tuned for that. We're going to end out. Stay tuned for the after show stuff, which is me kind of ranting about our social media and all that fun jazz. So I hope you enjoyed that. And an hour and 7 minutes total for this. Yes, I'm going to be checking off the box that says on the go. So I know you guys don't really like our car videos and our stuff. So again, special thanks out to Anthony Pizza and the folks at the Eastern Panhandle Pro Wrestling. And that's about it for right now. Take care, Ghost. See you. Yeah, Ghost. Oh, yeah. Ooh, what's that? Ooh, what's that? Look, a leaf was blowing away. That was a ghost. No. guys and gals, see you guys next week. Stay tuned for that interview. It was, again, David Kerr, his wife, and one of the actors from the movie. It was his first movie that he ever acted in.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And a lot of stuff was talked about. It's about an hour-ish.
Yeah.
So it's another hour-ish episode. Like, this one's going to be about an hour-ish. So take care, folks. I am out. See you on the other side of things.
There we go.
Welcome back, everyone. I hope you enjoyed our review and our discussion about Ghostbusters, the trailer, our EPPW event review, Rise of Skywalker review. If you want to join the conversation, as stated in our intro in a way, you can do so by leaving a comment down on our the pinned post and on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast. While you're there, please hit that like button and follow us, because even though this past month or so I have not been posting up regular updates, in regards to news and other things, I should be. As soon as my schedule outside of the show calms down, the number of postings should go back to normal as they were prior to the holiday season. As always, I hope all of you out there had a... If you're listening to this after Christmas, I hope all of you had a wonderful Christmas and holiday season. If you're listening to this before Christmas, I hope you have a wonderful holiday season and a wonderful Christmas. So, if you don't listen to us next week, I hope you all have a wonderful New Year's celebration and to be safe and sound. So, to continue, you can join in the conversation by, again, leaving a comment on our Facebook page. I gave that information out. Please hit that like button. We're so close to having a grand total of 200 people following the page, so or liking the page. That's great. That's wonderful. Please do so if you haven't done so already. What's next? You can also message us on Twitter, send us a DM or a DM on Instagram. They share the same handle, which is Long Coat Mafia. While there, again, hit that follow button. See what we're when we post up. Go to events like the Eastern Panhandle Pro Wrestling event. I post up photos for that. If I go somewhere or the show goes somewhere, we post up photos from that. We post them on Instagram, and I tried to be more active on Twitter. I know, again, I haven't been doing so. It's because of my crazy holiday schedule. We're at my 9-to-5. So, let's continue. We do have a YouTube channel. I do suggest hitting that if you're listening to us on YouTube, hitting that subscribe button, because we put up a lot of videos of usually of where we've been at. Sometimes we do interviews and post them up on our YouTube channel. I do suggest hitting the subscribe button on YouTube as well as the like button on Facebook, because sometimes there's only YouTube exclusive videos that are posted up, and there are Facebook exclusive videos posted up. Now, depending on how well or how bad COPPA hits us as of January the 1st, please let us, I do recommend hitting the like button on Facebook, because there might be a lot more videos going up on Facebook depending on, again, how bad COPPA hits us as the start of New Year. But still, hit that subscribe button on YouTube to find us on YouTube. If you're not subscribed already, we have about 26 subscribers on our YouTube channel. Please go there, hit that subscribe button. That way you can get caught up on some episodes. You can watch the videos that we post up. To find us there, you can either use the links in our show description or just do a search for the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. We are the only channel that comes up. Ignore the hateful, stupid, idiotic stuff that pops up, even though some of it might actually be ours. But still, all the other stuff, ignore. Just click the channel that says Long Coat Mafia Podcast. Hit that subscribe button and you're good to go. What else? We do have a Mixer.com channel. To find us there, we're at mixer.com/LCMP. All those letters are capitalized. Our Twitch channel is twitch.tv/Long Coat Mafia Pod. I should start streaming back to those sections soon. But I tend to stream on Facebook more often, every now and again, as well as hopefully YouTube, since I have that ability now. And the computer that I'm currently using is not a potato like the last few were. But still, I should start streaming again once my schedule gets back to normal. Now, what else? Finding the show, if you're listening to us on something like YouTube, or you're in a friend's car and you're listening to us that way and you want to catch our back catalog, which you are more than welcome to do so. If you're listening to us or choose to listen to us on a laptop or desktop type computer, you could find us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and our main website, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. And at our website, not only can you download any episode from this current episode all the way back to the beginning, you could stream them on the website. Oh, I could hear some of you now. Oh, but I don't have internet at home. Simple. Go to your local library. Download the episodes there. Save them to a jump drive. Bring them home. Listen to them on your player of choice. Because most libraries, if not every library, has a computer lab access to the internet. We are not a porn site, so therefore we should not be blocked in any way, shape, or form. And bookmark, if anything, if it's on your, if you got internet, bookmark our main website again, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. Bookmark it just in case iTunes or Spotify gets a little bit funky and chooses, for whatever reason, not to find our show for whatever reason, because that tends to happen every now and again with some of these big name podcasting catching sites and services. So please do so. What else? If you listen to us on the go, we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Podcasts, the Stitcher app, the Spotify app. What else? Where podcasting are found, including the Podbean app. Yes, you can find us on our website using your web browser on your mobile device, which again is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. But in order to listen to our episodes, you would need the Podbean app, which I do recommend because I think you're able to go back all the way to our first episode using the Podbean app. Just in case Apple Podcasts or whatever podcasting service that you're using, for the exception of Podbean, goes funky, you're able to have a backup. So, again, we want to hear what you guys and gals think of Rise of Skywalker. Please let us know. So, we do recognize the plot holes and everything else. So, let us know. I'm going to leave you guys and gals for this week. Stay tuned for next week's episode. It's going to be a doozy. It's going to be an interview type episode. So stay tuned. I'm out. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. And Happy New Year.
See you next time on the Longcoat Mafia.